Today we're going to learn about forgetfulness. We're going to see how, when it comes to Torah study, forgetfulness can be a matter of life and death. Parshas Vayeschanan, the second reading, chapter 4, verse 5. Re'ei limadati eschem chukim u'mishpatim. See, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I have taught you chukim, statutes, u'mishpatim, and laws, kasher tzivani Hashem b'lekoi, as the Lord my God has commanded, la'asais, so that you will do kain, so, bekerev ha'oretz, in the midst of the land, asher atem ba'im shomer l'rishta, which you are going to come into to inherit. Rashi does not comment at all. It's pretty straightforward. But the first one have a lot to say about this. Ramban says, Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people chukim. Chukim are gzeiris, he says. These are decrees. These are things which transcend human intelligence and we don't understand. Mishpatim, he says, are dinim. These are laws which kind of make sense. And because they're laws which kind of make sense, people could easily decide to legislate them out of existence because they can come with twisted logic saying, well, this law doesn't really apply anymore. And therefore, each of them required a special emphasis. It's interesting that Eidos is missing. There's no mention of testimonies. Because testimonies are a religious observance. And people can understand that. But when it comes to something which is totally irrational, or super rational, to be more accurate, or when it comes to something which is entirely rational, or so it would seem, this is where Moshe Rabbeinu had to place special emphasis. The Sifse Kohen and the Shachal HaTorah says something very interesting. Re'ei is in the singular expression. It doesn't say re'u. Re'u would mean you should see, which is plural. It says re'ei, you should see, singular. And then it says, limadati eschem. Eschem is plural. Why, says the Shach, do we start off singular and then we move on to a plural tense? And he says, this is because all of you are forewarned. All of you are obligated. And he said that was something that you have to know this is true both as a community as well as an individual. And that is why the Torah uses both tenses. Sometimes people think as long as individuals are going to be observing mitzvahs, that's good enough. As long as somebody's doing it. I'll write my annual check. I support Yiddishkeit. For who? For some individual. Somebody will do it. This is wrong. It's something that has to be personally responsible. I have to do mitzvahs. I was given mitzvahs. I also have to be concerned with Klal Yisrael, with the nation of Israel. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that the Lashon Yochid, that the singular tense, refers to chukim. Chukim, as the Ramban said, are things which don't necessarily jibe with our intelligence. They're super rational. So chukim, a person might think that this is something which is not relevant for me. We know that very, very special people were able to understand chukim. Moshe Rabbeinu understood all of the chukim. Shlomo HaMelech, understood almost all the chukim, sans the idea of Parah Aduma, of the red heifer. So therefore, a person might think, since I don't understand it, it's not relevant for me. Re'ei, Hashem says, see here, I'm talking to you. Eschem Lashon Rabim, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, this is because Mishpatim of the Torah were given to everybody equally, even though you might rationalize and explain how it's only effective or meaningful or applicable to an individual. No, says the Torah, it's important for each and every single one of us. The Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim, Maseches Nedarim, says the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu said the A.C. is because he wanted to tell them that everything that I told you is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. None of this is my own. I didn't create this by myself. Hashem gave you all of these mitzvahs. It's all kasha tzivani Hashem elokai. When I spoke to you, even if you didn't hear God speaking, you should know that it was all things that came from Hashem. I simply was repeating the instructions. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Ushmartem Va'asisem, you should keep and you should do. And here the Torah gives a reason. Ki, because this Torah, Chochmaschem uvinaschem le'enei ha'amin, this is your wisdom, this is your understanding, your discernment before the eyes of the nations. Asher yishmun es kol ha'chukim ha'ela, who will hear about all of these statutes, ve'amru, and the nations, they will say, ha, rak am chochem v'noven, only a wise and discerning nation, Hagoy Hagod Lazeh, is this great people. Only they, only something very special about them. In other words, the Torah will ultimately become our pride and joy, our source of respect amongst the nations. Not the fact that we can compete in the Olympics, not the notion that we can be diplomatic, not even the idea that we can wield weapons and defend ourselves. That will not earn us the respect in the eyes of the nations. Moshe Rabbeinu says, only the Torah will earn us that respect. Now, before we go on to talk about this idea of the Torah earning us the respect of the nations, it's noteworthy that the pasuk begins with the words Ushmartem. Ushmartem is something, it's a verb, but it means you should keep them. So presumably one would think it means to keep the mitzvahs. And then it says Va'asisem. And then you say you should do them. Is that not redundant? So Rashi says the distinction, the difference, the reason the Torah has to spell it out in two different words, use two different verbs, Ushmartem, and then Ve'asisem. Ushmartem, says Rashi, this does not refer to the performance of mitzvahs, but rather Zu Mishnah. This refers to the idea of Mishnah, which means halachas of Torah. As we know, the Mishnah is comprised primarily of halachas, not explanations. So Zu Mishnah, this is the idea of halachas psukis. In other words, the difference between halachas psukis and philosophy and theology and pilpulim and jurisprudence is that this is pashat, something you have to download and remember the actual halachas. You got to know the halachas. What exactly does Hashem want from us? So a person has to commit himself not only to the flowery explanatory areas of Torah, but Zum Mishnah. That means Ushmartem, that a Yid, that's the Pashat, simply know the halacha. And then, after you know the halacha, it's not good enough to know the halacha, the law. Not good enough to know the rule. You have to carry it out. And that's Vasisim, Kimashmai. Vasisim Rashi says that means literal. That here is talking about the actual observance of mitzvahs. So it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to learn the halachas, to know what has to be done, and then, of course, to follow through and to actually do it. Says Rashi, this is your wisdom and your understanding, etc. Bezois. Bezois means with this. When you will fulfill these things appropriately, the nations will say, a wise people indeed. A people who possesses Hashem's Torah, they are wise. Now the Bechor Shor on his commentary says something very interesting. He says, Ushmartem v'asisim should be understood as atem chayovim. You are obligated both lishmer v'lases. Why? Why, he says? Ki heim sam hachayim. This is the life elixir for a Jew. Sam hachayim is the opposite of sam hamavis. Sam hamavis is poison. That's the secret potion of death, God forbid. Sam hachayim is the secret potion of life. This is your life elixir. And that's why Ushmartem v'asisem, because life itself comes from here. The Shach HaLateira maintains that Ushmartem refers to mitzvahs loisase. Keep, guard yourself. Don't do certain things. V'asisem, this is the idea of mitzvahs asay.
Shouldn't it be the other way, v'asisem v'ushmartem?
Shouldn't it be v'asisem v'ushmartem? So if you follow the Shach's approach, that one means mitzvahs asay, one means mitzvahs loisase.
Well, one second.
And that's taka why, and that's taka why. Maybe Rashi doesn't say that, because it would have to be first do, and maybe then don't do. Maybe then you'll say no. But until it says sum redav asay toiv, so Marty asks a very good question, makes a good point. When we got to Torah, what did it say? Nasa v'nishma. So nasa should be first. This is why Rashi explained. Why does it say ushmartem first? Because ushmartem means study. Without study, without knowledge, without education, how are you supposed to keep? There would be no way to do the mitzvahs, and that's why. That's why Rashi does not take the approach of the other Mefarshim. Perhaps, Marty, correct to you what you're pointing out. That's why Rashi takes the approach that Ushmartem has to mean study, because otherwise Vasisem should have been first. After all, for us, the deed is the creed. And that's what life is really all about for us. It's about doing what you're supposed to do. Now it says, Kihichoch maschem ubinaschem. This is your wisdom and this is your understanding. It says Ramban, Hagoyim Yakiru, the Goyim will understand and know that the Tachlis HaTeira is to bring a person close to Hashem. Besides the fact that they will understand that the Torah is wise, besides the fact that they will realize that the Torah has figured out human nature and it gives us a pathway to living a fulfilling and a meaningful life, besides that, they will know that the Torah is your way to have a relationship, to nurture and cultivate a bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sefarno says, really? Really? You're going to tell me that the Goyim are going to respect the Torah? I mean, the Sefarno lived in a time when that wasn't necessarily so. And perhaps, maybe today it's not like that either. Sefarno says, if you learn, they'll have what to answer. The goyim will come, and they will question, and they will mock, and they will laugh. And if you don't know, how are you going to answer? So you'll look like a fool in front of the nations. And therefore, if you plan to be an observant Jew, that's great. You better learn, and you better know, so you'll have what to respond to defend the Torah, so you'll look wise instead of chas v'shalom foolish. Verse 7, Kimi goy godel, picking up on the theme of the end of verse 6, in which Moshe Rabbeinu refers to us as a goy ha-godel, a great nation, the great nation, that the nations will exclaim, look at this people, an amazing people, Klal Yisrael, the Jewish nation of Israel. He says, Kimi goy godel, who is such a great nation? Asher loy aleikim krev meilav, to whom Hashem is very close to them. Kashem aleikeinu, like our God, b'chol kareinu love, whenever we call out to Him. Rashi, notably, does not comment here. But it's clear that there's something very Jewish that's being conveyed here, Kimi goy godel. And indeed, the Ibn Ezra says that the kavana here is that Yisrael will be chachamim, chachme leiv, that they'll have not only IQ, but they'll have EQ. They'll be able to emotionally understand and relate to spirituality, the Yirei Hashem, and there'll be something unique about a Jew who is a spiritually infused individual and a non-Jew. There's something unique about Jewish spirituality. The world will, in fact, take note of that. And that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us His Torah. And He is the one who fostered this relationship, this connection with us. The Nachah Kedumim says something incredible. He says, even though Am Yisrael is the smallest of nations, you're saying it's a great nation? How do you get that? Mi goy gadol? How will the world call us a mighty or great nation? There are billions of adherents, or more than a billion, to other major faith systems. There are tens or hundreds of millions of people in other nations, small nations, nations that are not even talked about. And we're the tiny people. We're the smallest of peoples. We have barely, b'li ayin hara, 13 plus million. We're a tiny nation. Says the Nachal Kedumim, yes, we are indeed a small nation. However, we are an Am Chacham V'Novin. We're a wise and understanding nation. And because, therefore, we become a Goy Gadol. In comparison with the special intelligence that Hashem has blessed us with, in comparison with other nations, we become very great. And this can be understood on a very literal level. There is no group, no ethnic group, no faith system that has more wise people, have produced more incredible invention and achievement and accomplishment in the realm of intelligence, in the realm of creativity. If you want to use the litmus test of Nobel Prizes, per capita, there is no nation that comes anywhere close to the amount of Jews that have received Nobel Prizes for achievement and excellence in the scholastic fields, in fields of science, in fields of medicine, in fields of literature, in fields of poetry, in fields of all kind of intellectual pursuit. True. We are not well represented in the hockey league. We don't have many Jewish basketball players or baseball players. We don't even necessarily have that many Jewish actors. That's true. These are fields which we're not so known in. I don't even know if we're so great when it comes to politics. But when it comes to intelligent things, when it comes to study, when it comes to wisdom, the Jewish people are bar none. And that, says the Nachal Kedumim, is the meaning of Goy Godel. That's the meaning of a great nation. Now it says, Kashem Aleikenu, like the Lord God, b'chol kor'enu elav, when we call out to Him. Says Rabbeinu Moshe Alshech, yes indeed, the Mailas HaTfila, this refers to the virtue of prayer that is Eitzel Yisrael, that's uniquely with regard to the Jewish people. That Kasher Naker we see Ki Ein Mashiach, as long as we know there's one little connection, one little necessity, requisite, for us, for our prayer to be effective. What's that? That we should not rely on anybody else. We should not think salvation will come from elsewhere. As long as our betachin, as long as our trust is only in our Kadosh Baruch Hu, Azni Vashaya Be'ezus Hashem, then says the Alshech, we will indeed be answered with Hashem's help. And so, this is a special Jewish thing. Our prayer is unique. There's nothing like Jewish prayer. But the condition is that it has to be B'chol Kareinu Elav. We have to call out to Him. The Gemara in Gittin says, in the Sugya of the Churban, that there is no prayer that is an answer that doesn't have a little of Tfilasim Shal Yisrael. And there is no military victory that doesn't have a little bit of Esav mixed into it. Victory, might, brawn, this is not our specialty. Prayer, that is our special virtue. That's our special gift and talent, the ability to commune with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to achieve impactful, prayerful results. Umi goy gadol, and who is a great nation, says the Torah, Pasuk Ches. Moshe Rabbeinu continues to extol for the third verse in a row, calling us a great nation. Asher loy, who has chukim u'mishpatim, who has statutes and laws. Once again, reiterating what we learned in verse 5. Tzadikim, which are righteous, kechol ha-teira, as I said, this entire Torah, asher anoichi noisen lefneichem hayoyim, which I place before you today. So we have once again this idea of goy gadol, of being a great nation, and we have this notion of mishpatim tzadikim. What does it mean, righteous mitzvahs? Are they bad mitzvahs, chas v'shalom? What's a righteous mitzvah? What does a righteous mitzvah look like? Says the Bechor Shor, this is righteous, meaning it is beyond the purview of human invention. When a person looks at the Torah, there's no way that he or she could say, people made this up. Because anything that people made up will fit in one age and will be outdated in another. But as one wise person said, the Torah is never in style, never out of style, because it was never in style. The Torah comes from a higher place, and that's the meaning of tzaddikim. The Torah is always right, even if society does not find Torah values reflected in its present iteration of its morals or mores or ethos. And nonetheless, the Torah is always right, and then ultimately the nations will notice this. Now comes the but, the big but. Raki shomer lecha, but you better watch yourself. Ushmer nafshecha, guard your soul me'oid exceedingly. Pentishka chesadvarim asherau einecha, lest you forget the things your eyes saw. Penyusuru milvavcha, lest you drive out from your heart kol yimechayecha, all the days of your life. Ve'idaitem levanecha ulevnei vanecha, you will make this known to your children and to their children. So after extolling our virtues and the virtues of Torah and the virtues of our relationship and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here Moshe Rabbeinu says there's a big caveat. And the caveat is, Raki Shomer Lecha. You have to really watch yourself. And then, Ushmer Nafshecha. And not just Shmer Nafshecha, not just watch yourself, Me'oid, very much. What do you have to watch yourself? Watch, guard yourself exceedingly. What? What are we talking about? Pentishkach. Lest you forget. Pentishkach, lest you forget these words. Hishomer lecha, shmer nafshecha. Ibn Ezra says this refers to Maimed Har Sinai. This refers to the notion that Hashem revealed himself to us in a way that every single member of the nation saw and heard and knew God. Never forget that. Never forget what happened at Har Sinai. Even if you'll forget other details, even if you'll forget the other miracles, Har Sinai you can never forget. The Sefarno says, Har Sinai? The Torah is not warning about that. The Torah is warning, it's giving you an extra azhara, watch out for bad ideas and ideals. Stay away from different atheistic theologies. Stay away from reading the philosophies of other faith systems. These are things which are makhishos, which could deny the metzias of Hashem Yisbarach. It's not cute to read atheistic books. I was on a plane coming back from Israel a little while ago, and I'm sitting next to a CEO, very, very successful, a wealthy man. And we're talking about religion and God, and he says, I'm not really into any of that. But he says, but I have begun my search for God. I said, that's very interesting. How did you begin your search for God? He shows me that Richard Dawkins' book, God is Not Great, is not translated into Hebrew. So he's reading a book of atheism. I said, you know, with all due respect, I don't think that you're going to come closer to God from that book. I don't think that's a good place to start. He says, why not? I said, because it's not open-minded inquiry. He drew his target. He shot his arrow, then drew his targets. This guy knows exactly. He knows he doesn't want to believe in God. So he came up with the constructive arguments to try to prove that there is no God. He's not really looking for God. I said, why don't you study the Torah? He said, you think I should? He said, actually, yeah, I do. I said, I want to think about that. Well, by the time we landed in the morning, he did put on film. So maybe there was something. But so that's not a way to look for Hashem. And actually, a Jew is not allowed to read books like that. Unless you're reading it in order to try to argue against them and to show other people how fallacious their ideas are. Otherwise, the Jews should entertain this idea of, well, maybe there isn't a God. So Sfarno says, that's what we're talking about over here. Rabbeinu Meyuchas says, what's up with the Shmer Nafshcha? Says Rabbeinu Meyuchas, you know what this means? Just like you guard your life, self-preservation is the strongest instinct that God gave every one of us, so too it has to be. You have to guard yourself away from things which could turn you away from your Yiddishkeit, away from your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says that this is oz then kishaloi tishkichois, and when you won't forget the mitzvahs, v'tasum alamitasum, you will do them with integrity and you'll do them properly. not souped up mitzvahs, things that look like mitzvahs, or things that borrow phraseology from Torah and say, this is a cute look-alike mitzvah, a pseudo-mitzvah, chas v'shalom. No, no, you really do the mitzvahs, the way the halacha ordains the mitzvah should be done. Then, the world will be most impressed with you. If you twist and turn away from the Torah, not maybe on purpose, not with a bad intention, you simply forgot. Even so, you'll be looked at as fools by the nations of the world. So this is how the Mefarshim explained the idea of pen tishkach and ashmer nafshecha within the realm of drush. But within the realm of extreme pshat, or the realm of halacha, let's go to page Mem Zayin in Biri Achumash. Here's a quote from Hilchas Talmud Torah of the Alter Rebbe, which is more or less lifted from the words of the Rambam. Simin Gimel, the third simin of Parshas Veschanan, the Rebbe here quotes the Alter Rebbe, kol ha-shecheyach davar echad nimishnosei. Anybody who forgets a single teaching that he had studied, and the reason he forgets it is machmas shalechazer alimudei karoi, he did not review appropriately. Nobody wants to forget, but if you don't review, you're guaranteed to forget. Not only if you don't review karoi, if you don't review appropriately, you have to review appropriately. If you don't review appropriately, which probably means that you review it at least once a year, because shikha, forgetfulness, comes every 12 months. Maila alav akosov, the scripture considers it ke'ilu mischayev benafshe, as if you were to have forfeited your very life. That's a pretty powerful statement. V'gam oiver belav shel Torah, not only did you forfeit your life, you also violated an explicit instruction of the Torah. Shenemar, as it is written, the pasuk we just read, Raki shomer lecha, watch yourself, shmer nafshecha, guard your soul exceedingly ma'od, and tishkach es hadvarim asher ra'u einecha, lest you forget the things that your eyes saw, which the Alter Rebbe here, as is the Rambam and other Rishonim who speak in the halachic parlance, that this is talking about the concept of learning Torah. Ultimately, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and that's where all of this comes from. So the Rebbe now begins to analyze the very, very careful language that the Alter Rebbe chooses. And he notes two things. Number one, he notes, Aleph, Medivrei Rabbeinu HaZaken, from the words of the Alter Rebbe. What we're able to derive from this, Mashmu'usa HaMaisis, the practical takeaway of the Isser, of this prohibition, is the Chayva Lachzer Al Halimut Karoi, is the requirement to constantly review, to review appropriately. With this, by the way, most of the Rishonim and Pirkei Avos, that's how they translate this business of pentishkechu, lest you forget, kol ha-shecheyach davar echad mishnasei, is a Mishnah. So that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, most of the Rishonim say, like the Alter Rebbe says over here, shalechazer alimudeg, that he didn't constantly review. In other words, a lack of reviewing, that sin of omission, becomes like a sin of commission, a sin of purposely forgetting. Okay, so the Alter Rebbe seems to follow that well-worn path of most of the Rishonim. Madua, if why then, mefi achay v'zu besignin shlili shel zehiros mishikcha? Why then, does this dictate show up in the negative terminology? Don't forget. It shouldn't be don't forget. What we're really saying is, you should repeat, you should review. So why do you say it that way? I understand the Mishnah says it, kol ha-shecheyach davar echad. But if we're learning pshat like that, many of the poskim, they took the license to change from the tense that was something we found in a Mishnah, and in a halacha, because you wonder, halacha has to be conveyed in those practical of terms. So therefore, since the halacha must be conveyed in the extreme practical realm, then perhaps you would drop scriptural syntax and focus on the actual do. Here's what you must do. What should you do? Review. So say, chayav adam lachzer karoy, a person is obligated to review. That's what he learned. Why don't we have a tzivu chiyuvi? Why don't we have a positive commandment that Torah will be a halacha in the Torah, a yid must review constantly? That's number one. Number two, how do we understand this extreme nature of you forfeit your life? That's like, I could think of worse sins than forgetting a Mishnah you learned or forgetting something. I could think of worse sins. You think of worse sins? Murder, adultery, theft, immorality. I mean, there are seemingly worse sins than forgetting. I forgot, okay. It's like, this is like the cardinal sin. If you would advertise this, that in Judaism, the sin, a mortal sin, you pay for your life, you forget something in the words of Torah. Most people would be terrified to learn Torah then. If I learn Torah, I might forget. Maybe I shouldn't learn it all instead. How do you understand that? This is very intense. L'hashuv al shayla seila, to answer these questions, says the Rebbe, we don't need an answer to these questions per se. It's not like a question and answer. What's really needed is l'havin tchilas yisoyde v'tay mishalis hazeh. We need to understand the foundation of this biblical prohibition. If you'll understand the foundation in its proper setting, then the rest will fall into place. But first you need to understand it. If you'll understand it, you'll understand why it's so extreme. Then you'll understand why it's conveyed to us in this particular syntax. And the Rebbe goes on to explain. Yesha pirshu, there are some of the Rishonim, which this is the approach, interestingly, of the Bartanura. The Bartanura is kind of the American cheese of Pirushim on Pirkei Avos. He takes basically a whole bunch of different Pirushim. He follows usually the majority of the Rishonim. He'll take stock of what most of the Rishonim say, and he created like a tapestry of the Rishonim. He puts together, he shortens, most of what the Bartanura says is lifted from a number of Rishonim, and he kind of gave us an anthology, shortened it. So in this American cheese commentary on that Mishnah in chapter 3, which is also found, this Pirush is found in Rabbeinu Yonah and in other of the Rishonim. So it says over there that the Siba, the reason that you forfeit your life, what's the reason for this issue? What's wrong with forgetting something? I forgot. That's human. What's wrong with that? Because he says, if I'm going to forget, what happens is I may end up not doing, and maybe even telling somebody to do the wrong thing. It happens all the time. You learn the halacha, you forgot what you learned. Somebody said, what am I supposed to do now? You told him, do this. You just told him the wrong thing. You told him against the halacha. It's very scary. You become the cause of somebody stumbling in his Yiddishkeit. So he said, well, I didn't mean it. It's not my fault. What do you mean it's not your fault? This kind of shigaga, this kind of mistake, is actually considered to be a brazen violation because it was your fault. Why was it your fault? You didn't review. Imagine the guy gets caught for speeding. Cop says, hey, you're doing 50 kilometers over. He says, I never knew you know how to do 50 kilometers. He says, never knew? How'd you get a license? Well, I read the book, but you know that was decades ago. I didn't remember that you're not allowed to speed. The cop will say, oh, you didn't remember, so you didn't mean well. Oh, no problem. Then in that case, you're free. No, that's not what the cop's going to say. The cop's going to say, you have the obligation to find out what the law is. If you didn't know what the law is because you couldn't be bothered, that too makes you guilty. Okay, so the person says, well, I didn't know the halacha. Why didn't you know the halacha? Because you didn't review it. Okay, so then you're guilty. But interestingly, the Alter Rebbe does not take that approach. He doesn't follow that explanation. The Alter Rebbe never brings these words. So therefore, it seems that according to the Alter Rebbe Shita, he holds like the Rambam and the other Rishonim, that the Shikha is a bad thing, Kishala Atzma. It's the Shikha itself. It's not what will come from the Shikha. It's not what may result from the forgetfulness. It's the forgetfulness itself that comprises such a serious and egregious violation of my Yiddishkeit responsibilities. Not only the Beglal HaTakola, not only because of the obstacle which may come as a result. And therefore, the Rebbe gives us a gewaldige pshat, v'yesh leimar. The Rebbe says a big chiddush, sheladas rabbeinu hazaken, and so would be also the same idea would apply also to all of the other Rishonim who do not say like that this is because of the Takola, that Siba Sa'iser, that the reason for this prohibition is not because you're going to forget anything and then you'll have a takola, but because HaTorah hi chayenu ve'oirech yameinu, because the Torah is the length of our days. It's like the length of our days, the Torah gives us life. And because the Torah gives us life, so when you forget something from the Torah, what did you just lose? A piece of life that you got. You learned Torah. You got yourself an extra 10 seconds of life. You forgot what you learned. You lost the 10 seconds. I don't know how much Torah adds in life. Every second of life is meaningful. Every second of life is, maybe you learn an extra blad gemara. You get an extra half a minute of life. I don't know. Maybe you get 10 seconds. Maybe you get 1 second. The point is, Torah is chayenu ve'erech yameinu. Now, interestingly, you go back to the pasuk. What did the Beinu Miyucha say? Watch yourself. Hishamer l'chosh mar nafshecha. You remember we learned the Beinu Miyucha said? He said, k'shem sha'ata mishamer, it's nafshecha. Just like you watch your life, he said, watch the Torah. In other words, according to the Beinu Miyuchas, this is connected to the concept of life. The Torah tells you, take it as seriously as you take life itself. Ah, this is what the Rebbe is saying here. And that's the reason. You forget something you learn. It's as if you forfeit life. It does not mean it's a punishment. It's not because that, oh, you forgot. You're going to get punished. The consequence is going to mete it out to you. No. This is teitzotivius. It's a natural consequence. You don't say the person who got lung cancer is the punishment of smoking cigarettes. It's not a punishment. It's the natural result. You kept filling your lungs with poison. What do you want? So your lungs got filled with poison enough until you got sick. Chmansan developed a tumor. A person's obese and overeats. You say, you know, because you overeat, you might get a heart attack as a punishment. You might get a stroke. No. That's a natural consequence. The body wasn't made to carry 16 extra suitcases. It doesn't work like that. If you overload your body, this is necessarily going to cause and it's going to make you problems. So it's not an oinish per se. It's the natural consequence. That's the domino effect. Because the Torah is Chayev Shala Adam, because Torah gives us life. So if you forget Torah, you lose a portion of your life. And that's the meaning of Kilu Meschayev Benafshe. And now we understand another thing. First of all, we understand how could it be such a big sin, just severe sin. The way that Bartanura explained it is very hard to understand. So I told somebody the wrong thing. I deserve to die because of that. This seemingly are much worse sins. But here it's not a question of I deserve to. Torah gave you life. You forgot it, you lost it. Now, just because you studied Torah doesn't mean that you're able to retain its salutary effects. Those positive contributions to your life that lengthen your days that you receive through Torah can only lengthen your days as long as you consciously retain them. But if you lose it, you don't have the effects. That's where the Torah speaks to you, not in the positive, go review. The Torah speaks to you as in the negative, don't forget. Because the Torah wants to tell us, the forgetfulness itself is the problem. This is not only the negative consequence that will come if you forget, then you might end up in a situation where you might be able to lose or you to put yourself in a compromising reality.
Is there another reason why it's in the negative that you shouldn't come with an excuse why not doing it? Isn't that when you're supposed to give the reyach, or you should...
You want to say the reason it's in the negative, you shouldn't make excuses. Maybe. I can't tell you that that's not the case.
Isn't that the explanation that was given when it says, when it talks about how you have to help a friend, it says don't in a negative low...
Yes. You mean, you're talking about the prohibition of Torah not to turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
Because the person could say, I didn't notice. Okay, so over there, that applies. But here, how would you say I turned the blind eye? What didn't you notice over here?
Well, you could say I slept in the morning. I didn't do this. I didn't do that.
Okay, if that works for you, that a person shouldn't find excuses. But say the Rebbe's explanation here, as I stated, that the concept is said in that way, so you know that it's not a punishment, rather a natural consequence. Take away from today's class, every ounce of Torah you learn lengthens your days. Lengthens your days. However many years HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, learning Torah actually lengthens our days. Little caveat. Don't forget what you learned. Because if you forget what you learned, then those wonderful gifts of lengthening our days might not apply. And that is why forgetfulness can be a matter of life and death itself. May we learn Torah. May we have long lives. May we merit the true Eirich Yomim, which comes with Mashiach. B'mheira u'b'yameinu amen.